She's our ace, our cleanup hitter, and our source for all things crew. She's Brewers reporter Sophia Minert.
You know, I think they do feel like they have the pieces that they can get there.
Sophia Minert on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is brought to you by Ewald Automotive. Shop the Ewald Automotive Group, home of the 20-year, 200,000-mile limited warranty on all new vehicles. Visit any of their 8 locations today, in-store or online at ewaldautomotive.com. Ewald Automotive, we make it easy. Also brought to you by Century Foods. Enter the Ultimate Baseball Fan Sweepstakes for your chance to win a Zoom call with a Milwaukee baseball alum. Enter at your local Century Food store by May 19th. No purchase necessary.
Great to have Sophia Minert joining the show as we are in the baseball season. Finally, it feels like we've been waiting for this for so long, and now it's here. Sophia, I got to start with the trade yesterday. It took me by surprise. Explain to me what the thought process was here for the Brewers beyond getting a couple more, you know, right-handed minor league pitchers. I thought that Arcia was doing well in the club. What was the reason for making this move?
Yeah, I think there are a couple layers to it, John. You know, I think first with Orlando Arcia, you're talking about a top prospect who came up in 2016 with really, really, really high expectations. And it was an up and down road for him, right? It wasn't the clear progression that you like to see usually from top prospects. So, you know, there were times specifically in 2019 when he really struggled. They demoted him to AAA twice. They've given other players opportunities to play shortstop. Then I think kind of the real significant move was when they went out and acquired Luis Urias in the Padres trade in the offseason going into the 2020 season. And unfortunately, we just didn't get to see a lot of Luis Urias last year because he had a hand injury, he had COVID. And then this year they really committed to him. You know, they wanted to see him at shortstop as his primary position. And so they asked Orlando to start playing third. He took that challenge head on. And that was a major question at spring training. How are you going to juggle this? You want to commit to Luis Urias. Orlando's been your established shortstop since 2016. You also have Travis Shaw. You have Daniel Robertson. You have all these versatile pieces. You know, that was a major question of how that was going to work. So I do think the timing of the trade took everybody by surprise, you know, just 4 games into a season. But they do like what the pieces that they got back, especially considering the pitching needs for this year. So I think it's twofold of, you know, they were ready to sort of move on from Orlando Arcia because of the commitment that they wanted to make to Luis Urias.
Sophia, what's going on with Keston here? Is there more to it? Was he hurt that they brought in Colton Wong in the offseason? Because he hit the ball okay in the preseason, but he's still searching for that first hit.
Yeah, it's definitely been a struggle for Keston, and he was out of the lineup yesterday. And I think the big thing that stands out when you look at Keston's at-bats is, you know, he struggled with the strikeouts last year. He has 8 of them already here early in the season. Like, we're still looking for that first hit, like you said. And I think he's just missing pitches that he would typically hit, like, right in the middle of the zone. Like, those are usually balls that Keston punishes for extra base hits, for homers. He's always been a streaky hitter, so you kind of live with the ups and downs, and the strikeouts are part of that for him. I think the other piece to keep in mind with Keston is even though it feels like he's been up with the team for a while, he still hasn't played a full major league season. So there's still a lot of learning that's happening for him at the plate. You know, his mechanics are a little unorthodox with the leg kick, but Keston has proven at every level, in every season, that he can hit, he can get the job done. So I think it was just more of a mental day for him yesterday to just kind of take a step back, maybe work on some things in the cage, and I'm sure he'll be in the lineup today.
We've come up with some pretty terrible nicknames on this show, so maybe we aren't the ones to do this, but do we need a new nickname for Freddie? I mean, Freddie Peralta, fastball Freddie no more, threw a lot of sliders, breaking pitches last night. I saw Senior Slider on Twitter last night that I kind of liked. Do we need a new nickname after his performance last night?
Senior Slider, I could get on board with that. I like that. I know. I've been like, you know, fastball Freddie was just so easy, it was natural, it was like perfect, right? So yeah, now he's throwing all these wrinkles at us. We're going to have to get more creative about this. But Freddie, I think he's such a great story for the Brewers in terms of what pitching development can look like. You know, he came up with his major league debut at 18, and he was pretty much exclusively fastball, and then he would throw some curveballs in there. But hitters just couldn't – they just couldn't see that fastball very well. It's got high, it's got rise, it's got spin. It's just a really unique fastball. And so, you know, last year he added the slider. This year he's mixing in the changeup. That was a big point of emphasis for him in spring training. So you think about the pitcher that he was when he came up in 2018 to the pitcher that he is today. I mean, he's pitching like a starter, and he's got starter stuff, and he's got a full complement of stuff now. So I think it's going to be really fun to watch him. He's going to be kind of that right-handed Brent Suter, where he's going to be in the starting rotation. If they need him to, he can do multi-inning and relief. So he can. He's going to pitch a lot of innings for this team, no doubt.
Sophia Minert joining the show. She's going to join us each and every Wednesday during the Brewers season. Great to have her with us this year. How do you measure success this early in a season? You know, we've covered ball seasons, and you know it's a long marathon year. I know that the fans can get a little bit antsy early on, especially when you see the guys hitting like a 162 headed into yesterday's game. How do you the guys measure success from a day-in and day-out standpoint this early in the year?
Yeah, I think that's a good question, and I think that's something that we struggle with, right? Like, even covering the games, like, you know, talking to David Stearns, talking to Craig Counsell, the players themselves, it's like you go by what the numbers are in front of you, right? And trust me, they see those numbers on the scoreboard when they come up to bat too, so they're just as much aware of what the results are. I think for the players, it's not always dependent on the results, because you would drive yourself insane if you did that. But I think it's also little things, like how many pitches are you seeing? Are you swinging at strikes? Are you chasing out of the zone? Are you following your game plan? Are you, you know, doing your prep for the opposing starter, for the bullpen, right? Are you watching video? I think all of those things, like, are you working on the things in the cage, in BP? Is that translating to the game? You know, oftentimes those are things that we just don't get to see, right? Like, things that they may be working on with the hitting coaches that they're trying to translate to the game. Like, everybody wants success. Everybody wants, you know, the big hit, the extra base hit, the three-run homer. And I think, you know, especially with what the players went through last year in a shortened season, everything was so magnified. And I think this year they know that they have that room to breathe of, like, okay, maybe a bad series, you can bounce back and still make it a pretty good week.
Is this year going to be trying a work in process of trying to find the right combination with the players in certain positions? You anticipate us seeing more trades until they find that? How is this going to play out?
Yeah, I think with the trade yesterday with Orlando, it does provide more clarity of what their infield could look like. You know, they're set with, you know, first base, Keston Hira, Daniel Vogelbach was there last night. Even Travis Shaw played over there in the last couple of innings. Colton Wong will be your everyday second baseman. Now Luis will get the opportunity to be the everyday shortstop. And then at third, you have Travis Shaw, you have Daniel Robertson, and you have a couple guys at the alternate training site. So I think now that they kind of solved that infield question, you know, the biggest question is going to be the outfield rotation. And so far it's been working okay. And actually the depth has been really beneficial for them, because Lorenzo Cain has missed the last couple of games with an oblique issue. They're hopeful it's not anything serious. He's not on IL or anything. But this is why you have the depth that you do, especially with Lorenzo Cain. He's 34. He missed all of last year. So everyone's been getting playing time. And we saw that in the first series. Like, every outfielder essentially got to play two out of the three games, and Christian played all three. So, you know, in terms of your everyday lineup, Colton Wong and Christian Yelich are your locks pretty much every day. And then, you know, there's going to be pieces moving around them, but I think now they've found a little bit more consistency.
Well, to me, the cost of trading Orlando Arcia, like, it makes you a little bit short. It makes you, you know, at shortstop, there's a lack of depth there. Are they that comfortable with Daniel Robertson? If something were to happen with Luis Urias, I feel like, I mean, Robertson playing there every once in a while. But if you have an injury, it seems that shortstop is kind of not very deep right now.
Yeah, we asked that, you know, of Craig Counsell and David Stearns. And they, you know, Craig made a good point of, like, for the Brewers to be competitive as an organization, they're going to have to make tough decisions like this. And that means committing to a young player. There is a little bit of uncertainty there, right? Like, he actually has a pretty similar profile to what Orlando Arcia did when he came up, of like, elite defender, you know, very talented, very skilled. Can he hit at the major league level? Those are a lot of the questions that Luis Urias is going to have to answer. And I think they probably would have liked to have seen him more at shortstop. He had a hamstring injury that kept him out for about a week in spring training. But they do still like the skill set. And that's what Craig Counsell said, is like, we as an organization have to make these evaluations. We have to believe in our evaluations and believe in the player. So it is a little bit of a risk. They do feel that they were trading from a position of depth. They do like what they have in Daniel Robertson. There's a couple of guys at the alternate training site. You know, Pablo Reyes, Chase Peterson were guys that David Stearns mentioned yesterday. You know, I think you are right that what you're losing is a player like Orlando, who played in over 500 games for this organization, stepped up in every big moment, and was a big part of this team for the last couple of seasons. So you do definitely give up that experience.
Last question for you, Sophia. Does the perfect roasted marshmallow need to be a little charred?
Is this the JJ Watt question? Was it JJ Watt that posted about the marshmallow? Is this what this is?
It's JJ Watt adjacent.
Okay. So the pitch, I did see that tweet and I was like, wow, that is like a perfectly toasted marshmallow.
Yes.
I've never been able to achieve that, like, even level of toasting.
Oh, it was nice having you, Sophia.
Inevitably, there is charring,
well,
right?
Well, because, like, I mean, to get that
spinning
perfect,
and spinning and spinning,
there
right?
is a level
spinning,
of patience right. that I don't have.
JJ
because
Watt's
I
not
just...
sitting at the fire turning the marshmallow. That guy, are you kidding me?
Yes, that's what he did. He was spinning it.
Somebody
spinning
did.
It, or he put it on a spit like a pig.
So, oh, see,
now we're
on to
something.
Now, yeah, now Jen is on to something. I do not possess that kind of patience. I'm like, just give me the s'more and let's eat this thing. You
exactly.
know,
so, but,
already.
But you so, let you you aspire to achieve the perfect marshmallow with no char, right?
I mean, it's aesthetically so beautiful.
Yes.
And it looks great, too.
It sounds like Sophia will eat the char, though. She, like, is resigned to the fact that her marshmallow is going to have the char on it, and she's just come to that conclusion.
If we need to scrape some charring off of there, I'm okay with that. But, like, we will not be wasting the s'more.
There's no wasting.
No s'more left behind here. So, you know, we'll eat it.
Sophia, thank you so much. Have a great game today. We'll talk to you again next week.
Okay, thanks, guys. Have a great day.